Milwaukee women hope their extended walk makes a statement about how much they care about the Great Lakes. Julia Robson and Alyssa Armbruster are slated to arrive on the shores of Lake Superior this week after walking more than 330 miles from Milwaukee. It was a way to raise awareness and funds for conservation.
What's more, a documentary film is being created around their project called Walk to Sustain Our Great Lakes. Both women graduated from UW-Milwaukee's Conservation and Environmental Science program and are now employees of Milwaukee County Parks.
They had reached Waters Meet, Michigan when Lake Effect Susan Benz spoke with Julia Robson last Friday. Before explaining more about their motivation, Robson explained more about their route from here to there.
We started at Discovery World in downtown Milwaukee on August 26th. And from Milwaukee up to Green Bay, we mainly stayed on interurban paved trails. So we took the Oak Leaf Trail, the Ozaukee Interurban Trail, and the Sheboygan Interurban Trail. Along the way there, camping's pretty limited, but there's a lot of great state parks. So we stayed at Harrington Beach State Park and Kohler-Andre State Park. From Sheboygan, we headed west, actually. So we cut in from the lakefront, and we went to High Cliff State Park. We stayed a couple nights in the Kettle Moraine, too. And then when we went up north on the Fox River State Trail, we took that up into Green Bay, where we had our first series of rest days. So we took about 2 days off up in Green Bay. And after Green Bay, we took the Mountain Bay State Trail up into the Chequamegon-Nicolet National Forest. And through the National Forest there, we mainly stayed on the State Trail, which is a multi-use ATV and hiking trail. And that took us over 90 miles up to the border of Wisconsin and Michigan. And that's when we crossed into the Ottawa National Forest around Iron River. And here we are today.
You're a team. You're hiking with a colleague.
Yes. Alyssa is the co-founder for Walk to Sustain Our Great Lakes. I'm the founder. And the idea came to me originally in January when we started hearing about these proposed cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency and threats to the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative program. And we both really felt that it was important to bring attention to all of the positive progress that's been made in restoring and cleaning up the Great Lakes and a lot of our freshwater systems, rivers and streams, because a lot of these programs have done a lot of good over the years since the 60s and 70s. And especially people from our generation, younger generations that maybe weren't around before the Clean Water Act or before the establishment of the EPA, we never saw how bad the pollution was on some of the rivers and lakes. So we wanted to really highlight how far we've come and the importance of moving things forward. We also both read Dan Egan's book, The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. And, you know, that really, even as ecologists, her and I, it really opened our eyes to a lot of the still pending threats that the Great Lakes face, everything from invasive species to climate change and water diversion. So we just wanted to do something that was large scale that would inspire people to really think and ask questions and bring attention to something we felt was really important.
So there's a documentary that's going to be fashioned out of all of your miles of heavy walking and blisters, et cetera.
Yes. So we are collaborating with Rainy Day Productions. They're a film production company out of Kenosha. And they are not only coming with to film us on the walk, we actually have for this last week, one of the film production members, he's walking last week with us. I give him a lot of credit. And but we've also done a lot of interviews throughout the Great Lakes Basin with different researchers or water land managers and community members about different Great Lakes issues, whether it's invasive species or commercial fishing, habitat restoration, etc. So the documentary will, you know, feature the walk and our journey, but also tell a story about the Great Lakes and how they've changed since the 60s and 70s and you know, what we need to see happen moving forward.
So you've done some of those interviews along the way, or that's work that you did before taking off?
We did the interviews both. So we did quite a bit. Starting in March is when we started working on the interviews for the film. So we've been interviewing all over the place from Wisconsin to Ohio throughout the summer. And we still have some interviews that we're doing in October when we get back. But we did do some interviews in Green Bay and Sheboygan along the walk. So that's been kind of a nice break mentally from walking every day to actually meet with some people and talk about some of the projects that they have going on as they relate to the Great Lakes.
Can you share one or two unexpected or especially meaningful encounters or experiences along your trip?
Absolutely. I think for both of us, we are just really inspired and taken back by the kindness of a lot of the people that we've met along the trail. We can't tell you how many times we've had a couch offered to us. We've had people feed us warm meals and take us in when it's been raining on us. We had a good straight week of just rain and cold weather on the trail, and we would be coming up through Breed, Wisconsin on the ATV trail, and a bar owner just said, "Hey, come sleep on our couch. Here's a warm dinner." That felt great. And we too, when we're talking to people about our project, when they ask you, what are you doing, where are you going, and why, everybody's really, you can tell everybody, they really do care about the Great Lakes. They care about having clean, healthy water, and they're inspired by what we're doing. And I think we were hoping that we would feel that and see that along our journey, but we didn't expect to, I suppose. So it's just really taken us back, and it's really motivated us each and every day to keep going when we realize how many people are inspired by what we're doing and how many people actually care about our cause. And so that's a positive thing. But I guess one of the little bit more negative things are the pains was our feet. We didn't expect how bad our feet would hurt. And we were prepared, when you think about walking 332 miles on your 2 feet, it's a lot easier said than done. But I think at this point, our first 2 weeks were pretty rough. At this point, though, our feet are acclimated to doing it. So we're feeling really good now, but that was probably the roughest thing to get used to when we first started.
So what's the longest trek you'd ever done before this, Julia?
For me, I did 40 miles on the Pacific Crest Trail last year. Alyssa and I are both pretty avid hikers, but neither of us have done anything to this extent. So 40 miles was the most for me. Alyssa's been doing backpacking most of her life too, but this was also the biggest trek for her. Luckily, the topography through Wisconsin isn't too bad like it is out west. But, it's funny, we crossed into Michigan and all of a sudden we're hitting a lot of hills now. So that's testing us definitely.
You are putting together a documentary with the assistance of a team and did all the interviews. We've also raised money to, can I ask how much you've raised and how you chose the organizations? There's so many groups doing work related to the Great Lakes. How do you choose?
Oh, absolutely. It's not easy. There's a lot of groups doing very impactful work, but our goal is to raise $10,000. So far, we've raised close to $7,000. And we're going to continue fundraising until the end of October. We chose to fundraise for three different organizations. And we chose based on the fact that we wanted to pick one that at least had a basin-wide reach. So an organization that did work on all of the Great Lakes to some extent. So that's why we selected the Alliance for the Great Lakes. The Alliance for the Great Lakes has a fantastic Adopt-A-Beach program. They do a lot of outreach with schools and local communities throughout the Great Lakes region, so especially through their Great Lakes in My World school curriculum. So we really felt that because of their educational reach with people that we wanted them to be one of our beneficiaries. And then we're both Milwaukeeans, Alyssa and I, so we wanted to choose two organizations that were close to home for us where we live on a Great Lake. So we chose the Urban Ecology Center, which is also another not-for-profit, and they do fantastic work connecting the community, not just to water, but just natural resources in general. And then Discovery World as well. So Discovery World has a lot of great summer camps that connects kids to water right on the lakefront of Lake Michigan. So that's our other beneficiary as well.
So I assume the plan is when you've rested and healed a bit, you'll be going back to your job with the Milwaukee County Parks.
Yes. Yeah,
so talk about what your work is there and how you think this experience is going to influence that and the way you see things.
That's a very good question. I think that my role with Milwaukee County Parks, I'm the Assistant Natural Areas Coordinator. So we manage a good 10,000 acres of natural habitat right along within the Lake Michigan watershed quite a bit of it that's right along the coastal community of Lake Michigan. So I think that the way this project will have influenced how I say approach my role there, the work that I'm doing with parks is I really think that this has helped me better communicate with people, with the general public, with people I meet about water conservation, about the importance of it. And I think communication, you can invest as much as you want to in habitat restoration and creating new habitat. But if you don't help the people that live amidst that to appreciate it or understand why you're doing it, they're not going to fight for it one day, say if it's ever at threat of being lost or if something needs to be fixed. So I think communication and helping to educate people on natural resources, on water conservation, on the Great Lakes is the most important thing that we all have to learn to do better in the scientific field. And I really feel like this project has benefited me in that it's helped me learn how to better communicate about these things that I find professionally and personally to be so important.
Wow. Well done, Julia. I'm serious.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm almost crying out here.
Thank you.
So how are you traveling back home? You going to bike?
I wish I could. I have to get back to work. That's the thing. I had to save all my vacation and all my overtime. I didn't take any time off this year, really. So I got to get back. I only had a month. So we are going to be riding back. But one unique facet of the project, too, is that for all of the fossil fuels that we've been using or had to use, we're actually going to donate a voluntary carbon tax at the end of it. Says we wanted to make it as green as we could. So there's been points where we've had to get a ride to our camping spot, especially from Milwaukee to Green Bay. So we've been keeping tabs on mileage so that we can donate a carbon tax at the finish of the whole thing.
Julia Robson and Alyssa Armbruster were scheduled to reach their destination this week, the beauty of the Porcupine Mountains on Lake Superior's shore. And they're hoping by this time next year, the documentary film about their trip will be ready to screen at the Milwaukee Film Festival and or the annual Environmental Film Festival in Washington, D.C.